So this is one of those days where either I can talk a lot or you can talk a lot. It's always way more fun when you talk a lot. So there will be either a long or a short message at the end of this, depending on how the first part of this goes. But we thought it would just be just a beautiful thing to remember God's faithfulness, to remember how God has used this body of people in different ways at different times to touch different lives. And just we would love to hear some of your stories, some of your testimonies, and just about the exciting things about what God is doing. So one thing we do ask is that you would use a microphone. I know that might scare some of you guys, but there's people that want to hear this that can't be in here or aren't here today. And so we would love to have that on tape, and then we can blackmail you with that later.
I need to head back to the Christmas program practice, so they're going to let me go first. I just wanted, when I think of Christian outreach, I think of really growth. And for me, that's my personal growth. So much of in opportunities to serve here. I remember starting on the piano and literally not knowing very much at all. I mean, we're talking very little. I could plunk out some stuff. And Kirk going, okay, well, you're going to be there and we'll figure it out. I don't know if you've ever tried figure it out like that. It required a ton of, oops, I'm sorry, oops, that was the wrong, oops, 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 I lost the tempo there, oops. Lots of oopses, lots of humility, and a lot of bravery to just decide, courage, like, we're called together to do this, so I'm going to keep showing up, even if it means it's not comfortable. And sometimes it's not comfortable, right? Sometimes this life cannot be comfortable. But this has been an incredibly safe place to be uncomfortable because you have been so gracious to walk with us. And so God has grown things out of that. And we're still pursuing and we're still growing in areas. And just even thinking of just the pleasure and sometimes the hard stuff of working with people, the ups and the downs. I was up till 1:30 in the morning just recently with a old youth kid who was just wanting to end it, honestly, just really having it, and made some choices that really ended up putting her in a really hard, very sad situation that, you know, is making her have those feelings. And those are hard because you don't ever want to see someone that you've invested things in those places. That's the whole point of why you're investing, right? Like, no, we told you don't do that. And that's going to lead to destruction. Sin leads to destruction. It leads to death. And so you're wanting to keep people from that. But you're also thankful that over the years of investment, haven't talked to her in years, she still reached out. She knew what she was going to get from me. She knew that I was going to point to Jesus every time. She knew it, but she still reached out, and I was still able to pray with her, to point her there, and to really try and tell her, you're not the sum total of your decisions right now. You're more than that. You are. Like, there's fire. I remember you. There's fire in your eyes. And God can redeem this if you give your life to Him fully and completely. Now, she, as far as I know, hasn't. But those are opportunities of growth. They're ways to grow. And so I'm just thankful that for me, COC really is a lot of growth. Some whoosh, really fast. Some hard plowing. This hurts, God. This isn't easy. But I'm so thankful because I'm not who I was back then. And he's so faithful to keep us going, right? Okay.
Somebody else, what does COC mean? Right here. Now, I'll come over there, but if you guys, maybe you're going to share kind of, this is Marnie's mom and dad. For anybody that doesn't know that, this is Jim and Kathy. And they were, for the first five or six years, they were on staff at Christian Outreach Center. They were the worship leaders. They helped establish this church, and they sowed their lives into this place. And so we are just want to honor them today as well.
I remember when we first met, and people were giving ideas, you know, what should the name of the church be? What's the purpose of the church? Of course, number one, the purpose was to exalt Christ and that truth be spoken here. The second thing was very important that it had to have outreach in the name, because that's what we were all about, was reaching out as Jesus reached out. And over the years, you can definitely see the fruits of the outreach of the church. And so I'm not going to... I told Jim, okay, 500 words. I know that won't happen. But back in the beginning when I was a secretary, I remember our office was out there. And this gal came in. Her name was Audrey. And she was... what's the word when you're... Yeah, very inebriated. And she had accidents, and she was actually filthy. And because this had been an apartment... I just said, I won't give her name, but I said, let's go into the bathroom and let's get you cleaned up. So we had friends who lived in the house up here, and I called Irene and I said, Irene, can you give me a change of clothes? Because right now this lady is cleaning up. And we got her cleaned up and got her the clothes, and she was enough into it that she knew that she was being treated with kindness, okay? And so shared Christ with her, and I said, Lord, it's, you know, whatever happens to her, let the word take root. And so it was 2 days later, I heard that she had passed away. And so that's what this place has been about. It's been about reaching out into the lives of people that are so desperate, and they need the Lord. And so when we, you know... God led us in a different circle, and we ended up going up to Wofford City. It was the same thing. What had been sown into us, we sowed up there. And this is just when we were singing about God and his faithfulness, I said, Lord, you are so faithful. Nobody could have designed this. Nobody could have planned this other than God. We had a volunteer. Her name is Debbie. I call her Sunshine Debbie or Christmas Debbie, whatever, because she was one of those flamboyant ladies. And she was one of my volunteers. Loved the Lord. You look at her and you just could not see that there was a fire in her. Her husband walked out on her, 6 children. I mean, they're older now. They're in their 30s, but she's had a hard life. But she just recognizes God as her provider and her husband, and it's just awesome. And so the day that we left, or the last day that I was there, she says, Kathy, I want to pray for you. And when she started praying, I just like, whoa, I've heard Debbie pray. But she was just praying blessing and favor over us and thanking, or me, and thanking God for our relationship. And then all of a sudden she says, Kathy, I've never done this before, but I want to sing over you. I just feel I need to sing over you. And so she just stood there and she sang over me, and of course I broke, and it was just such a priestly anointing. It was just so wonderful. And so since then, Debbie has 6 kids, 2 of the daughters that are in their 30s. One has been diagnosed with cancer. She has a mass on her liver, and she is going to Mayo on the 19th of November, okay? Jim and I are taking Jim's sister, Martha, down to Mayo during that same time. We are going to be there. And, you know, we couldn't have planned it, but God arranged it so that we will be there to support Debbie, to pray for Cabrin. And now her sister, Maya, they're also testing her for the same thing because she's exhibiting all the same symptoms. So just notch your calendar for the 19th of November, that surgery goes well, that God just places this healing touch on these girls and just gives us the words. We want to be his voice for Debbie and Cabrin and Mia at this time. But anyway, all I have to say is when I walk in here, I was telling Linda, I said, all I think of is greatness, the greatness of God, the greatness of his faithfulness, the greatness of his what he does in each one of us. And the humility, I could go on and on, but there's so much fruit that has been, there's just so much fruit that's been reproduced in this place. And I, you know, Pastor Fearing, I just remember all of his encouraging words to us as a couple, just to keep pressing on. And my heart is big for this place. And I love to see what's happening. I love the atmosphere because his presence is here. The other last Sunday, I said two Sundays in a row we've been here. Last Sunday I was just sitting here and before church, just praying, just saying, Lord, you're here. I just feel like I'm soaking in so much. And so thank you, people. Thank you for Frida. Thank you for the people who have passed on their prayers. You know, God, he still is in those prayers, and he is doing wonderful things. So, flourish. I love the word flourish, and I just call this an oasis.
Somebody else.
Yeah, I just want to say that this church has made healing real to me. All the times, we went to a lot of different churches. We started out Lutheran, she started out Catholic, and then we joined the Lutheran church together, so we both went to a different church, and then we went to Watertown, and home church. But when I heard Dwight on the radio, I just had to see that guy in person. And so we started coming up here, and then Donna got sick, and Dwight, he dropped everything and went clear to Sioux Falls right away, and her brother showed up, and I guess healing, I was like all the other churches, maybe, I don't know. You pray, but then you go to the doctor, and that's your healing, that through the doctor. But I see that the Lord heals, and I learned that because my wife told that doctor, we're going home. He said, you'll be back, he told me. He corners me out in the aisle, and he said, you know, what we did won't last. You'll be back. Probably last a half hour, 2 hours. But you'll be back. We weren't back. The Lord heals. And through all these years, like when you prayed for my shoulder, and it's all better. And I can't believe that. I had other guys pray, but I thought that day, you know, I always sit here, and the guy says he had a word for your shoulder, but I've had other people pray, but it never worked. So I just said, well, it must still going to work someday. Well, when I had you pray, I decided then maybe we shouldn't quit it. Just keep on going. Maybe if somebody says they have a word, go have them pray for you again. It don't matter if one's prayed for you. Have another guy pray. Just keep having prayer. And I've been healed several times. My foot, remember I was on crutches when Dwight died? And all those things. So I learned there's healing in the Lord. That's what I learned.
I love that we're talking about the faithfulness of God and perseverance and you know, just kind of keeping on and being steady. And you're like, you showed up again. You're like, you kind of given up. And then you're like, you know what? God still is who he is. He's faithful. And then you get healed.
I was raised a Catholic and, you know, did all the Catholic things, went to church, got my kids baptized, stuff like that. My husband never, ever went to church. But anyway, I don't know, somewhere along the line, I just lost my faith in the Catholic religion because, you know, of some of the things that they were teaching. And, oh, I don't know. It was just an ongoing thing that just made me real unhappy to the point where I ended up dropping out of the church, and there were years that I didn't go to church at all. And I felt bad about that because I loved Christ and, you know, I prayed to him and stuff like that. But as far as going to a church, I just never did until Vince and Mindy talked me into coming to church here one Sunday before we even moved back to Browns Valley. And before I left this church, I knew that this was my home, my second home. I just felt so comfortable here. Everybody was so nice, you know. And, you know, I like greeting people. And, yeah, this church for the last 9 years has been just kind of my, what do I want to say, center of gravity or... you know, if I miss church, by the time I get back to church the following week, I feel like I need, you know, like a fuel fill up or something like that. Because, you know, I just have missed the people and, you know, the feeling of how great it is here.
Well, I just, when Kathy said the outreach part of Christian outreach, I was thinking too many times we think it's reaching out beyond the walls of this church. But for us, with everything Dave has been challenged with in his health, the body here, the family was here for us, not only supported us with prayers and love, but even financially through a time where we had no income coming in. So it's very important to remember to reach out to one another. And I guess what I would say about this church is it always, always Jesus first. Always is grounded in speaking the truth in love. I mean, I believe that there isn't one of us here that has a problem that we can't go to someone in church here and not be judged, but trust that person will speak the truth in love to you and not, oh, it'll be okay, it'll be okay. Yes, you need that, but we need the grounding of the word, the loyalty of the family of God, the camaraderie, just the unity of the family of God, and that's... We've just been so blessed by this church. The other thing is when I lost, in 18 months' time, I lost my sister, my brother, and then my mother. They all three died in 18 months' time. And I remember going to the funerals, and I told Dave, I don't want to leave my family back home, because you felt that compassion, that sharing. But I knew the Lord had said to me, you go back here. You have a family. You have a family. And that just lifted for me. And the other thing is just, I was struggling because I've been attacked so much physically. And of course, what I shared a couple weeks ago about the stress, the anxiety I was getting, so I couldn't go in a store because I was afraid, what if I'd keel over from the vertigo or whatever is going on. And then I shared, and then Kirk got up. I had literally been thinking about going to a Christian counselor just to share, because I believe a lot of my stress started taking care of him. A lot of the fears came in because of what we went through. We know fear is not of God, but you battle it. Kirk shared that day, and the first thing he said to do is, I think we need to repent. And so I repented. I mean, you should know that, but I did. And then the other words, I don't even remember what he shared after that, but I told a worldly friend, I said, I got the best counsel I could have got. I don't feel overwhelmed anymore. I don't feel, yes, fear and anxiety will try, as we know, it's part of the world. But the simple thing, when he stood up, he doesn't even realize how the Lord used him for my life. So, bless you all.
Yes. Amen.
I kind of have a loud voice, so I hope I don't, like, multiply this. But I love this church, you know. When Gregory and I and Matthew, we were back up north, Grand Forks, North Dakota, East Grand Forks, Minnesota. We went to a church, and we just loved that church. And then we moved to Breckenridge, and we're like, wow. So then we're trying out churches, you know. And we just didn't feel like we were at home anywhere or whatever. And I don't know, Pastor Fearing, one time Matthew was having a seizure. We were at the Fargo Hospital, and Pastor Fearing came up there, and I knew that was Trisha's pastor, you know, and I'm like,
So anyways, with that visit, then we decided when we were in Breckenridge that we would visit COC. And we really liked it. And I just felt in my heart of hearts that that's the one for us. But we had a slight problem, you know. We were in Breckenridge. And so when Greg finally, you know, moved to Rossholt with the idea of moving to Rossholt, I knew what church was going to be our church. And we're, you know, we've been Lutheran. We've been to different churches and stuff. So we were just so excited. But this, as we're sitting here thinking about what to share with you guys, I'm thinking, what is it about COC? What is it? And I don't think you can just pinpoint it to one thing, but what came to my mind was Jesus saying he's leaving now, but he's leaving us with a comforter, with a teacher, you know, someone for us, you know. And I thought, the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I have to say, that's what it is. That's the homecoming. That's the great, great feelings that we get, a oneness with God. That's what it is. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches us to outreach. The Holy Spirit teaches us to love. The Holy Spirit teaches us to pray one for another. He is our comforter. He is our teacher. And he is invited in this church. Always, from day one, since I walked into this church, the invitation to the Holy Spirit to be here with us, amongst us, and just to fellowship with us has always been out there, the Holy Spirit. So I am thankful for COC and the hearts of the people that really, truly love the Lord enough for the Holy Spirit to work within them. I'm so thankful for that.
So thankful for you guys. You see, as leaders, we get to set the course, but if the people don't follow, it doesn't really matter what we're doing. Pastor Fearing used to say it all the time, if he that leadeth and no one followeth is only going for a walk, right? So that's why we always turn it back to you guys. We're desperate for his presence. But if you guys won't allow that to happen, it's just some desperate people up here trying to lead something. And I'm so thankful for you guys' responsiveness and tenderness to God's presence and to what he wants to do in our lives.
I guess it was April 30th, 1999, when I came to the Lord. And I knew that I needed to be in a praise church because I was healed in the worship. And so I was, when I moved up here with my mom and dad, I was searching for a church and I had no idea of anywhere to go. And I just kind of came in off the street and I'm still here. My mom and dad came to church with me, and my dad, one of the things he said, he says, "It's more than an hour." And he came to a men's retreat, and I don't know that he ever did another men's retreat, but the Spirit of God came upon him, and he was flowing in the Spirit in our prayer at home, because I got my mom and dad to pray, you know, before meals, and we prayed a little bit of other things too, and that was the only time we ever prayed. And I remember when I was sitting here, it's like one time my dad even started, you know, the little booklets we get. I saw him reading, and my whole life I never saw him reading scripture, ever. And so it was like, that's really an impact to me. And then my mom was really resistant, you know, as special as she was fighting not to, you know, surrender to. Anyway, that happened through Marnie after, I don't know, I think you went on a retreat or you went probably to maybe a Quiet Fire or somewhere. I'm not sure what it was right then, but the Spirit of God came through her, through Marnie, through my mom, and through me. And it was like, and from that time on, my mom, I knew she was just right with the Lord. You know, her heart was so good. And
And then, you know, through the time that I lost them, I mean, people were so wonderfully kind to me, even though it wasn't always convenient. And Pastor was there always, and he was, even before that, Pastor was always there. He went to the hospital every time for my mom and dad, and it was like I'd never had that happen before in my life at any church. And so it was, it's just that the Holy Spirit is so strong here, and there is so much advancement and so many things happening that we don't even really realize sometimes, I think, until much later. And this place, I don't know, it's been about 2 years ago, but the Lord said to stand where I stand. And it was one of the hardest things to do because I didn't want that. But I'm still here because he said that. And lots of good things are happening and changing in my life. And I know that it's because I'm here.
And with a group of people that believe what's up on the board there, God is faithful. Anybody else?
There's a lot of things after 25 years that you could think back and recount. But one of the things that I think about when Peggy was just talking about things going on that you're not even aware of and know of, I was thinking about Judy over there, that having to stand behind Dwight and all his crazy runs going everywhere, and I'm sure challenging him, some of us did, to maybe think it through a little more before he did it. The faithfulness of, you know, of the couple and the wife and the silent partner that really isn't silent. They're silent here, but, you know, speaking into and loving and encouraging. And there's great discouragement in leadership, because a lot of times you feel really alone and you're questioning, are we really hearing God? Are we really following God? Especially when somebody comes out and says, well, I don't think you're doing this right, and I don't think you're doing that right. And then you go, well, am I hearing right? Or are they just not understanding what we're trying to do? You know, there's all those things that happen where you really have to rely on the Lord. So I just want to honor Judy for that. And I was just thinking about the all the lives that have been impacted over 25 years, just stories we've heard this morning that we wouldn't know about, that, you know, God is always up to something. He's always working. And, you know, as we started as Christian Outreach Center, we remember the past. We're grateful for what he's done, but we have to be excited about the future too. I mean, we've got a foundation. There's things to build on. Part of the thing that has made, just in the conversations we hear, made Christian Outreach what it is our willingness, all of us, to reach out and invite and get involved in other people's lives, to be that person. You know, just, you know, when you're here, it's so easy because we have certain people we kind of gravitate to, but my challenge to you today would be to always be looking for someone that's here that you don't know, that's maybe their first time and they're scared to death wondering what, you know, I just feel like I need to try something but don't know what. You know, and to reach out to them and find out who they are and find out why they're here, and just love on them and help them feel a part, because it's scary looking for a new place. You know, we're in West Fargo now, and we're going to have to try and find a new church. We visited three. We've been on the road so much that we've been here more than anywhere, you know. And, of course, for us, this is our first love. We were here day one, you know. You remember, Judy, way back in the beginning when Dale and I came over to your house, and Dwight was so distraught and wondering what in the world are we going to do, you know, and how God worked through all of that and directed us. And here's Christian Outreach Center today. You know, those that were here back then, you know, Barb and Andy and Stan and Marilyn and Dave and Mary and Frida and others, that Jerry, yeah, Jerry and Jenny. Hey, Jerry. Halberts, you know, see, if you start mentioning them, then I'm going to forget some. So, and all of you that have been so faithful. But I, you know, we continually pray God's blessing. And as a parent, it's so fun to see what God is doing in the lives of Kirk and Marnie and Stephen and Trish, and see how God is elevating and developing their leadership and their caring heart. We couldn't be more proud. And we just pray great blessings on this church, as it has been. Amen.
All right. I'm going to try to, my voice is gone, but God's going to heal me through this. And so I've been here for six years now, and kind of going off of what Kathy said of an outreach, and this church is an outreach. I was working at a security at Connection and had Pastor Fearing and Judy was there and for lunch and or dinner, whatever you guys prefer. Pastor stopping me walking through the restaurant and invited me to church, and kind of a little bit background of me. I kind of what Kirk said today about that teenager of, I moved here pretty much running away from God. And you can't run away from God, right? It's just like Jonah. And so I pretty much came here to run away from God. I was done with the whole church thing. Just growing up, just not liking how the church was, how it was. And so I'm like, if I don't want anything to do with the church, I could do, if the church is like that, I could do my own thing type of thing. And so Pastor invited me, and I was like, nope, I'm good. And then I had a couple other people from here at the restaurant every week. And, oh, you should come to my church. And I actually grew up coming here when I was little, like when I was 10 years old. So I knew this church. And I think my last, the week before I got here, it was Talia, Tay, and Tegan was at Connection with their mom and dad. And Taya and Talia actually came up to me and gave me a hug, because I saw them every week, so I guess they thought they knew me. and they're like, and they said, you should come to church. And I did. And I was really skeptic about this church, just like, it's going to be like any other church. They're going to judge, they're going to, for doing something wrong or whatever. And it wasn't, kind of what Linda was saying, what type of place this is love. And you guys, you know, this church, you are the church, and do preach truth, and do preach stuff that you really don't want to hear, but you should hear it. And but they don't judge. You don't judge. I've messed up since then, and I thought, okay, I'm gonna be judged or criticized, but no, it's always been, it's okay. Let's pray about it. You know you did wrong. We're gonna love you for it, and we know you're gonna change. And I just want to thank you all, every one of you, of just always having the love of God in your life, and showing that to everybody.
I actually wanted to share first, but I'm glad I waited, actually. We've been a lot of places in our Christian life and done a lot of things that, well, never mind. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So, I really don't know what to say, but I know there's something in my heart that needs said. I just don't have the words for it, but it was scary coming here, actually, for us. Not because of the people necessarily, it was just different. So, it's been different, but it's been different good. It's been right, and I so appreciate the truth that is loved here. I appreciate the preaching of it very much. that's always been near and dear to our hearts, you know, ever since day one, giving our lives to Christ. The truth is why we're here, and he is a person, and he's a person that needs to be exalted, and he's also love, and that's here too, which, you know, to get a church with a combination of truth and grace, truth and love, is a pretty rare thing, because there's so many things fighting us, spiritual pride and arrogance and things like that, that we can stumble in and fall into, and it takes that away. I don't see that here. Thankful for that. Because it's not safe environments like that. But it's safe here. It's amazing. I'm so thankful for the friendship that Pastor Fearing developed with us. And now since then, Kirk and Marnie and Stephen and Tricia too, the friendship we have is dear. And all of you, really, I mean, not just them, but we appreciate every one of you here in this church. And we're glad to be here, and we look forward to it all the time coming. And we look forward to Wednesdays. We don't always make it. My job's pretty demanding right now, but it's just been really good. It's been a pleasure serving in this church, too. And we're really just very glad that it's possible, because I don't know, it's a hard walk in this life. It's a hard walk just finding a church sometimes. It's difficult. And this church just makes that a lot easier. So, yeah. Amen. You have anything to say? Okay. Well, God bless each one.
I appreciate that. It's the passion of our hearts to love extravagantly and to love everyone we meet, you guys included, to love us all right into repentance. Continually. Our hearts are continually going astray. They're always chasing after dumb things that don't belong, right? I mean, just our hearts are just like a dog. Squirrel, you know? Just. And so it is. It's that the reality that if I really love you, I want to hold up the mirror of the Word of God in your life in a way that's not judgmental, but in a way that's true. And how can I help walk with you in this? Because this is crippling your life. We want you to thrive. So, anybody else?
So, my dad brought me here when I was about a teenager, and I came in here. I'm like, oh, man, this is way different. Like, I went to Catholic and then got confirmed, and then I went to Lutheran and got confirmed, or whatever you call it, communion or something. And I prayed to God, but I didn't have that relationship with him. And I came here, and I'm like, you know, I always wanted to sing, but I didn't. And Marnie, I don't even know if she remembers this, but she would always look at me and mouth the word, sing, sing, like all the time. I'm just like, Marnie, don't. Then I quit looking at Marnie because I knew what she was going to say. And then during like my later high school years and college years, I just turned away and went through a really hard time, and here comes Kirk in my Facebook Messenger and just messaged me, and I'm just like, oh man, like these people just know, they just know, and went through a really hard time, and I prayed through it, and I'm like, I'm coming back, like, I miss this church, this is just so, like, solid for me, and just brought my dad back, and just being here really feels like home, and I'm just so thankful for all the encouragement. Like, this church makes you want to live for Jesus. Like, you see the excitement, you see everything, and I hate talking on the microphone and stuff, but I can talk to someone else, and I'm like, no, like, I need to be brave. This church is always wanting to get, like, make you brave and go out and outreach to people and pray over them, and now I don't have to sit in here. Marty, you don't have to look at me and tell me to sing. I want to sing.
I wasn't going to say anything, but Jim kind of inspired me thinking back to when we first started. And the how many of you know that we started church in the middle school? I mean, if you were there, you know that. But, I mean, that's where we started. We didn't. When I think back to that first Sunday, and we were all so nervous and so scared because we didn't know what to expect. And Pastor kept saying that. He's just like, I don't know what to expect. Because, you know, the devil really had ripped it apart and really wanted to destroy us. And I just am so grateful that there was that core of us that just had the faith to believe and to hang on and to just keep going no matter what. And each Sunday, it was kind of like a train. I just keep thinking of a train, how the old locomotives, when they would start, and they just, it was slow. And pretty soon we picked up a pace, and we just kept going. And then we were offered this building, if you would have seen it when we started, we walked in here and it was, oh my goodness. I mean, and the people came and they rolled up their sleeves and they worked. I mean, this section was a garage where we're sitting right now. It was a garage and it just never ceases to amaze me where God has brought us. And I was so blessed to be able to. I walked in the door that first day, and Pastor's like, you know, we need somebody that'll do the books and stuff like that. And I volunteered. I said, I'll do them until you find somebody. And 25 years later, I'm still here, you know. And I told him all the time, if you find somebody else, just tell me and I'll step down. But what a privilege to walk in here on Monday mornings and see him on his knees. And see him pouring out his heart to God. And like everybody has said, he was always there. Whenever he needed him, he was always there. You know, I mean, he has such a heart. And Judy, you gave him up. and she was willing to let him go like that. And I mean, I'm not putting everything on him, but he was the faithful servant. And he knew what God wanted to do here. And the times that we went up to Rosthern, Saskatchewan in March, like we're dummies. And then we would go down to Mexico in a blizzard because we're dummies. I mean, we drove in blizzards and to get to both places. But we had an outreach, and that's what it was all about. We all had hearts for that. We just wanted to touch people. And I still remember going to a service in Rosthern, and those people up there, and you guys can look where it's at, because it's not just in the beginning of Canada. It's up there. And they said, you guys came here in March. I mean, they just got their socks blessed off because we were willing to do that. You know, and that's what it's all about. And we're still reaching out, and we've still got that heart, and we've still got that drive. And I go, okay, devil, you wanted us down and you wanted us destroyed, and we're still here. We've been through some tough times, but we're still here. And what a blessing this family is, because it started out as that. I look at that poster over there saying, family gathers here, and that's the truth. And that's the truth.
Amen. I love how Pastor talked about you guys. All the time we would have conversations about how much he loved this church, and he and I would just weep. We'd just be so thankful for you guys having that heart and being willing to keep yielding your heart, to keep your heart fresh and to keep your heart soft and to not get clogged up with bitterness and to keep inviting God's presence. And to be a family. To be a family. Yeah. Anybody else?
Well, this is just to kind of lay groundwork for where this quad is. Pastor Kirk and Marnie and Pastor Stephen and Tricia. Kirk never looked this refined when we first met him.
He was scary.
Can show you a picture.
Yeah. Long hair. You didn't have a tude because Jesus was living in you at that time. But I do remember when we were over here and we were doing worship and you would play the guitar. And I don't remember if we had asked or if you and Audrey had got together. It was the first time that you guys sang a worship song. And they did that as a special, I think. And so then, you know, as we developed a worship team, Kirk definitely became a very important, integral part of that with his guitar playing and with his singing, because you sang too. Well, Kirk was also the youth pastor, and our daughter was part of the youth group. And so, and that was fine. And I mean, that was fine. It was a great youth group. Stephen, he ended up being part of the youth group. Tricia, she was brought in through marriage. But I remember when Marnie went off to college for 2 years. Thank God she did. And when she came back, Kirk was still the youth pastor. Of course, she was into the college group, you know. And you could begin to see these things begin to develop, you know, how they would look at each other. And just certain little signs like, okay, there's more here than what meets the eye. And, you know, as parents, you're just not quite sure what the outcome's going to be. Well, they ended up getting married and being a part, a very integral part. Stephen, watching them grow up, being under great teaching, being part of the youth group, and then him getting married and bringing Tricia into the scene, not knowing then what this would be today. Just all the mentorship that's taken place, watching people being real. You know, I'm going to pat the parents on the back too. Stan and Marilyn, you did a wonderful job of loving your son. And yeah. And showing him the way. But I just wanted to kind of, you know, paint that picture that, you know, he was a renegade. He truly was. I mean, I let him get by with calling me a nag. that was on a trip. He, I know, but I think the majority of them agreed with me. And so, you know, for the mother-in-law to still love and respect and honor you, Kirk, as a wonderful son-in-law, we appreciate that. Appreciate our grandkids. And then what you poured into Stephen, and to see Barb and Andy, what they poured into their children too. How this is just all mushroomed, and God knew about it before we ever did. And so when I come in here and I see this, it's like, wow, Lord. It's kind of like the Moses, Joshua, and, you know, it's just mushroom. And so I'm very grateful, and I just had to kind of give them, you know, that you just weren't always refined. Yeah, the unfiltered version. Someday we're going to have to put a picture up on there. But anyway, just very thankful.
Thank you. We never knew, but God knew. We never knew, but God knew. Where you're at in your life right now, you can go to the bank on God's faithfulness. He knows. He's orchestrating paths. He's setting up your success right now. If you would only turn our hearts to Him and keep surrendered, He'll work it out. That's our job, is to keep laying it down and to keep saying, all right, God, you've got this. To keep our hearts pure, to keep the gunk from the world, to keep sin, to keep doubt, to keep fear, to keep all that stuff from latching onto us, to keep surrendering. That's why we love worship. That's why we love just being at the altar in prayer. That's why we love just keeping our hearts pure, because that doesn't change. God is faithful. God is faithful, and He's orchestrating things that you're going to see a year or 5 years or 20 years from now, or generationally, that you had no idea. And like, if you would know that now,
it'd freak you out. Like, he doesn't share those things with us for good reason. So we just keep leaning into him and trusting in him. But we've got to know. That's why we sing songs like God is good. Like, we sing those songs. You are good. You're good. You're good. Because we got to know his character. Because it relies that we, like the ocean song, that we're out on the water. I've got to trust his character. I've got to know that he's good when it feels like he's bad. I'll just kind of let that just settle in there for a second. But it was just real quick. Well, you guys talked long, so I'll talk really short. A couple of things that were in our heart. I was talking with Stephen and with Marnie and just kind of talking about this day. And we weren't going to do a huge celebration, but I kind of wanted to do some of this. And it always feels weird talking about your church. Like, it just, I always want to point it back to God. It's God's faithfulness. It's none of the, I mean, yes, you guys are making great choices and great decisions. You're being loving and you're like, but it's God in you doing it. Like, it, just always pointing at Jesus. But there were a couple things. And the first thing that pastor always said to me privately, and I repeated, and that Stephen said right away, is just, what an honor to serve you guys. Truly, it is a privilege. Man, I'll read blogs or things that, you know, Twitter stuff or whatever, and hear how some pastors talk about their people, and like, why are you there? Those poor people. Sure, guys, some people are less nice than others, but like, man, it just is such a privilege. It is such an honor to come and serve you guys. And one of the verses that is 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Paul's writing and saying this. He said, we remember before God. Say remember. We remember. And that's what we're doing today. That's honestly what we just got done doing. But we remember before God, before our God and Father, your work. Look at somebody. Say your work. Your work produced by faith. Your labor prompted by love and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we can't do this for the long haul without something outside of us, and it's got to be the Spirit of God. And it's that faith in us that says, I'm going to go do something and it's going to produce kingdom results. See, we're not about building a church here. I'm sorry. We're about building kingdom. And a great church is one of the vehicles that God uses to do that. We're about his business and his kingdom. Like, it's not about keeping COC going. It's about a mission to see lost people saved, to see broken people healed, to see the manifestation of God's kingdom on this earth, unraveling the bound up works of the enemy. And your work gets produced by that faith in you. You're like, this is going to do something. Your labor prompted by love. You make the hard choices and you sacrifice. And I'm talking to you guys. You give up of your time and of your talents and of your wealth because it's prompted by love. You're knowing that there's a bigger vision, that it's not just about you. And you can't keep on doing that day after day without hope. Hope says this is going to change. I love the story of it'd be my great aunt, it'd be mom's aunt and uncle. And we've shared it time and time and time again. They're both gone to heaven now, but Pat and Larry, they used to sit right there. And Pat was my mom's aunt, and she loved Jesus and has loved Jesus for as long as I've ever known her. But Larry was a turkey, and he was mean, and he was just a jerk. And she prayed for him for 20 years to come to Christ. Curtis, you talk about praying and then praying again and praying again. And she would just, endurance inspired by hope. She had hope that God is bigger than Larry, who I want to punch right now, right? Like, he just, but instead of punching him, I'm going to pray for him. And I'm going to pray for him. And I remember Pastor Fearing led him to Christ. And it just, he was just so ornery when he came in those first couple times. And I remember the day he broke. And he just surrendered his heart to Christ. And it was the most glorious thing. And then she ended up dying, and then just not too long ago, he passed away. But just, he was like a kid. And just seeing the fruitfulness in his life, it just was like, the whole world was brand new to him. And he was not a spring chicken when that happened. I don't know how old he was, but everyone's getting younger these days, but you know, but that endurance that is inspired by hope. I had enough slides for a whole message, so don't get freaked out. I'm going to skip through a couple of these because I want to get, so the first thing was that it's an honor to serve you guys and to see you serve each other. How many times we hear about the body rallying for each other. And it's so beautiful, you guys serving one another. And then the second thing was just God's faithfulness from him to us and in his faithfulness in us to other people. Seeing the faithfulness. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the skies. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known throughout all generations. We had a men's meeting Saturday morning, and we were talking about what really matters in this life. I got to be careful because I'll just go off on all kinds of rabbit trails today. But what's really important? You know, I've been thinking about that a lot lately. Well, if I can do this really well, or I'm the best at this, or man, I've got that, or I accomplished this. Like, what really matters? I'm not saying that stuff doesn't matter, but what really matters? What matters? And what I keep coming to is what's going to live on past me. And I don't remember if it was Jim, I think it was you, talked about what kind of footprint am I leaving in life? In a life that's lived just for yourself, a life that's just lived, you know, for your thing, I said it's like standing in shallow water and making footprints. Like, you know, as soon as you walk by, they're gone. It's not that you don't see the ripples, and it's not that you don't see it, but then it's gone. And I want my life to be like footprints in the concrete. I want the goodness and the flavor of God and the message of grace and the truth of his word to be so in my life that people can look past me and see Jesus. And that, like Pastor Fearing, I mean, there's concrete footprints all over this town and all over this church, you know, love it or hate it or whatever, like he made an impact. And I want my life to be about making an impact. And that's what this verse is talking about. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known, not just to others, but through the generations, that as I leave, my life can be such a mark in the ground that you can go back and say, oh yeah, I see the footprints of God's faithfulness, and he's been dead for 30 years. And you see that impact of God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. He's faithful in all he does. God calls us to be faithful. This is what we're doing today. Be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully. Say faithfully. You guys serve the Lord faithfully. It's one of his, what we call communicable attributes. There's incommunicable and communicable. It's one that he can like love. It's who he is. And yet we can love. It's one of his attributes that is meant to be produced in our life. Serve him faithfully with all your heart. And what's one of the keys to that? Consider the great things he's done for you. This has been a horrible year for celebrity Christianity, I guess, or whatever you would call it, kind of well-known. Like, it's not just that people are falling in sin and like losing their ministries. People are walking away from God. And people that have served the Lord faithfully for decades and for whatever reason are just deciding, nah, I'm not doing this anymore. And it's just been bizarre. And so if you know us at all, you know that Marnie and I, for our personal lives, not just for the church, but for our personal lives, faithfulness is a huge thing. It's a huge deal. Showing up and showing up again tomorrow. And I'm showing up again the next day. And then when the next day comes, I'm showing up again the next day. And by showing up, I mean doing what I need to do, whether that's work or marriage. Like, we're doing this. We're showing up. Don't like being in the same room with you right now, wife. She's like, I haven't liked being in the same room with you for 10 years. But we're showing up. We're doing this. We're showing up. Faithfulness. One of the ways to keep our heart, because what happens is we get this idea that something else or someone else is better. Like, we get tricked into thinking that something is better than I'm missing out on something. And it's like the story I was telling you about the girl that got the phone call from Friday. She's like, I went down that path. And how blessed that she's young and found that out. I'm not missing out.
Jesus is where it's at. All those other roads lead to death. And so consider the great things he's done. If we don't keep our mind on, if you're constantly focused on what's wrong and why this isn't working and pouting around, like, you're going to end up walking away. You're not going to be faithful, because we've got to keep fresh in our heart that, because we forget those good things that God did. That's why it's great to have services like this once in a while, where we remember. Consider the great things he's done for you. This is one last thing, probably the second to last thing. This is David talking when he could have attacked Saul. And so this verse says this: the Lord rewards every man. Say every man. The Lord rewards every man. He rewards you for his righteousness and faithfulness. For the Lord gave you into my hand today, and I would not put out my hand against the Lord's anointed. You know what David's saying there? He's saying, in this cave, I could have taken you out. But I'm not going to do that, because that's not what God wants me to do. And God's going to reward me for my faithfulness to what he wants me to do. God is going to reward me. And we see in Matthew 6, hey, you know what? When you pray, go in your closet. You don't need to stand in front of people and do that. Not that we're against public prayer, but it was making a principle. Because you need to be in secret. Because what? Father knows and sees what's done in secret. And when you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, because you don't need the reward from people. When you do your good works, let it be done in secret, because you know why? Because God sees. And that's what David's saying here. He's telling Saul, you know what? God sees. Like this, I've been anointed king, and so I should take you out. But that's not what God wants me to do. And I've got to trust that God sees. A huge part of you guys being faithful is the ability for you to trust that God sees. If that begins to crack in our life, well, God, you don't even know how bad I've got it, or we've got to know that God sees. That's what helps us maintain our integrity and our passion to pursue him. Last thing, he sees what's done in secret. The last one is as we're taking comfort, because there's a security. I don't know how many times we heard it today. There's safety here. There's security here. This is a safe place. And why? Because we believe in God's faithfulness. It's secure. It's steadfast. It's immovable. It's unshakable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants that to be in our lives. I want to be decades down the road and to have people say of me, wow, I knew them 40 years ago. They're still serving Jesus. They're still walking with integrity. They still are loving people. They're still doing whatever. Still handsome as ever. Like, just, you know, just 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. And there's comfort in that faithfulness of God. He's unchanging. He loved me when he saved me. He'll love me when he welcomes me into heaven after I die. And everything in between, he's there for me. God is faithful. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you'll find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. What's going to be my shield? What's going to be my fortress? What's going to be my surround? It's the faithfulness of God. And because of that, I can put that faithfulness on display for other people. I can be faithful in my work. I can be faithful in my family. I can be faithful in my service to God. I can be faithful in what I'm doing. So, sounds like it's barbecue time. Yes, you can.
I had heart problems 3 years ago, and I just want to give this church, the body of people that prayed for me. I had two doctors tell me, Dave, you should be dead. There's no reason you're living for what I had to go through. And you know what? I had no pain. I tell Mary, I says, there was no pain. And it was this church praying and praying. And I realized that so much. I'm sorry I gotta be so hard saying this, but, and there's a lot I could say a thousand things about this church. I think from when we started, how many people have left, but you know, God was so faithful, he kept bringing them back in and bringing new in and new in. And we love them just as much as we love the ones that left. And how many of them left? And we know they took something with them when they left. They had to. And all the new ones, new people in here, I love. And everybody loves each other here because of Christ. I mean, just because of Christ, because we want to be faithful people. But again, I want to thank this church, the people that prayed, and there's some here that I know personally that, and I just, I laid in the hospital with my chest open for 20 days. And, you know, it just, I wanted to die every day. But somehow, there was always something there saying, no, let's give her another day. You know, and here I am. What God's got for me, I don't know, but I'm thankful I'm here. And I give this church the glory. I give God the glory for the people of this church that prayed.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So good.